Good evening. So good to see you again tonight. Take your Bible, go to the book of John, chapter 21, if you have a copy of God's Word. I'm so thrilled to be here. Really is my privilege, and I just want to publicly thank you, church family, for your encouragement to us in so many ways, small ways, big ways. I think it was 2017, and we had a weekend where it was really one of the most discouraging weekends of my life, and I'll never forget that. And we were with my in-laws in Rockford, Illinois, in that area, and I had met your pastor several times, but never been here. And we had a weekend where we needed to go to church somewhere, and we were trying to figure that out. And I told my wife, I said, "Why don't we go to Falls? We've never been there." I said, "And nobody knows is there." And that was kind of what I was thinking. You ever do that on vacation? You're thinking, you know, this is great. Nobody will know us there, right? And I walked in the lobby over there, and Brother Stephen was there. And he goes, "Hello," you know. And so he blew my cover right there, you know. And we walked in, and I told my wife later, I said, "That's one of the friendliest churches I've ever been in all my life." And that was a tremendous blessing. And then after the service, I remember your pastor just greeted us and just encouraged me in a way that really I needed to be encouraged that day, and said a few things that just stuck with me to this day and were just a tremendous blessing. And then for whatever reason decided to be my friend, encouraged us as the Lord moved us to Rhode Island a few months later. And really the last, 6.5 years, there's been many times I've called him, several times where he's flown out and spoken on a Wednesday night. And that's my cover for, "I really need to talk to you." And he'll tell you, get him in a restaurant or corner him in my office and just kind of do that in church. Thanks for just sharing your pastor like that. Many of us appreciate that. And he's been a counselor and a friend to me. Many times he's just looked at me and said, "Well, that's just terrible." Yeah, in a way only he can do. And I kind of go, "All right, well, that's good." And it's good to know you're not the only one. And sometimes he's just said, "I've been there and it's miserable, and God will see you through." And, you know, he's right. He has been there and it is miserable, but God does see us through, doesn't he? And sometimes you just need somebody who can just help you and give you perspective like that. And then thank you for the Victory Conference. What a tremendous event that is. I know attend and maybe you see, but I got to tell you, for me, I think 2 years ago, I wasn't here this past year, we were in Manila on a missions trip, but we had, I think there was 6 pastors that came with me, and all of them just reference that week as just an incredible week, and that it helped them tremendously. Here's men of God who just were helped by a place where they had the emphasis was on the Christ walk and walking with the Lord, and that was just such a blessing to them, and it's been a blessing to me, and I thank you for that. Thank you. I know Dr. Jim and your pastor, they've just been such a tremendous blessing to me in that way, just helping us, and then the emphasis on prayer, understanding, you know, a symphony of prayer, and we do that weekly in many settings, and then the Christ walk journal, for me personally, it's been about 6 years I've been using that. And then I remember there was a time when we were trying to figure out, how are we going to do Sunday school here in Rhode Island? And, you know, and I was a California boy, and I remember thinking, how are we going to do this in this climate and this environment? We came, and I remember I was in that corner over there talking to Pastor Stephen, and I said, "You do what?" And he explained to me these, you know, Discovery Bible studies and what that meant and what that looked like. And I think I must have called him 3 or 4 times and said, now what about this and what about that? And then I remember one time with he and your pastor talking for, I guess it was almost a couple hours, and I just had all these questions. And 3 years ago in March, we started those Discovery Bible studies at our church, and I've got to tell you, it has revolutionized our ministry. It's a different place. Our church has doubled in size, first of all, since then, but it's more than that. There's a wonderful spirit. It feels like church, and God has just done a great work, and he's used those things. He's done the work, but he uses some wonderful things, and so thank you shamelessly for letting me steal your ideas and what God has done here and used. It's been a tremendous blessing to me, and I've got a passion for continuing to see God use that ministry in a wonderful way, and I'm excited. That's why I'm excited about being here today. What a blessing to help you and encourage you today to keep doing what's been a blessing here for many years and what's been a blessing to us and many others, and so I'm thankful for that. Well, John chapter 21, you know this passage well, but I'd like to encourage you to still read with me, starting in verse number 15. So John 21, verse 15, it says, I don't mean to be long tonight. It's first of all, it's 8 o'clock for me. And so I'm going to die off here in a little bit. But I pray the Lord will just meet with us and help us to see truth, I pray. And I want to talk to you about just the secret of service. Notice in verse 21, it says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whithersoever thou wouldest. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, here's the words, ready? Follow me. Now, you know, the background for this passage is that Calvary was just a few days behind. And Peter had, in the process of Jesus being betrayed, he had cursed. He had denied the Lord three times. He told people that he didn't even know him. The Bible says that when that rooster sang his song, Peter wept bitterly. And the disciples, the Bible says, were, of course, they had heard that Jesus was alive, that he had risen from the dead, and they were somewhat in a fog, half believing, half doubting, wanting to understand, restless, perplexed, disturbed, perhaps. And they were told to wait at Jerusalem until, the Bible says, they were endued from power, with power from on high. But you know what happened. They disobeyed. They had gone to Galilee. And the story is, I think they got there, and I believe they were wondering what to do. And if you look in verse number 3, the Bible says that Peter said these words, I go a-fishing. Back to the old life, back to the old ways. And the other said, Peter, we'll go with you. And so these commercial fishermen set out there to fish, out on familiar ground, if you will, back, if you will, to the old ways. And the Bible says that something interesting happened. Here they are fishing, and the Lord tells all the fish to hide. They catch nothing all night long, not one fish. Frankly, it reminds me of some fishing trips I've been on. And I've been there. The Bible says that Peter here, he's denied the Lord. He's felt the guilt of that. He has, the Bible says, now tried fishing, and he couldn't even do that. And so now here he is. He's wet. He is tired. They've fished all night. He is hungry, discouraged. Frankly, he's ashamed. And early in the morning, the Bible says, here they are rowing back to shore, making their way. I have the feeling nobody was saying much. Probably no one was saying anything. And they see this figure out on the shore, 100 yards away or so. And they didn't know it was the Lord. Maybe they thought of it, but the Bible says that he sees them and they see him. And the Bible says he tells them, hey, why don't you cast your nets over there on that side? They fished all night, and you know what happened. The Bible says that there were so many fish that it encircled the net that they weren't even able to pull the net into the boat, and they had to get help. And the Bible says in verse number 7, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it's the Lord. Can you imagine that moment? They realize who this is. It's Jesus. And Simon, who had stripped down, the Bible says, for fishing, puts on his coat, the Bible tells us, and he couldn't wait for the others. He jumped into the waters, and he swims out, and he makes his way to the shore, and he beats everybody there. By the way, don't you love Peter? I mean, just he's got zeal, he's got energy, he's motivated. And the Bible says that when they get to shore, something miraculous has happened. Jesus has prepared a meal. It's there. There's some fish. There's an open fire, and they're just about ready. How many of you love to show up at home, you know, and your wife's got something cooking, or your dad's grilling out, or whatever, and it's just that moment when they say, it's time to eat. And I always tell my kids, they say, Dad, time to eat. And I always tell them the same thing every time. I love time to eat. It's time to eat. Where he got the fish, I can only assume the Sea of Galilee. Where did he get the bread? I don't know. I'd like to think that he turned some of the stones into bread. You know, he didn't do it when the devil tempted him, but he did it then in his own timing. And the Bible says, here is fish, here is bread. And I imagine these hungry guys, I mean, they've been going at it all night. They look at that and they smell that and that hot steaming bread, and they see those fish. And they sit down and they eat. And I mean, they just devour. They just eat that up. And all of a sudden, they look up and here's Jesus. And he's been glancing at Simon Peter. And he asked the greatest question any man can be asked. This is the greatest question you could be asked. I could ask you. Anybody could ask you. And it was a simple question. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? I don't know if you've ever been sitting in church and you just feel like a dagger just went through you. Anybody ever had that feeling? I know I have. It feels like your heart's right there in your throat. And I think Peter must have just felt the weight of that question. I want you to notice he didn't ask him anything else. He didn't say, Simon, do you believe my doctrine? Are you a fundamentalist still? That's not what he asked him. I know people this way. Man, they are cynical, negative. They are difficult. They can split a theological hair in 16 ways. But I'm going to tell you, they don't love Jesus. The truth is, if you love him, you'll believe this book. You'll be a fundamental Christian. He didn't ask him, Simon, do you repent of what you did to me and what you said to me? He asked, do you love me? Because, by the way, if you love Jesus, you'll repent of sin. I mean, you'll get right with him. You can repent of your sin without loving Jesus, by the way. But you can't love Jesus and not repent. He didn't ask him, Simon, do you have faith in me? By the way, we ought to have faith. I hope you don't mistake. We ought to believe him. We ought to trust and receive the gospel. We ought to believe what the Bible says. But he asked him this question, do you love me? But do you know what happens? If you love Jesus, you'll believe him. You'll trust him. To love him is to trust him. He didn't say, Simon, are you keeping my commandments? Are you abiding by the laws that I've given you from that word? You know why? Because John 14, 15 tells us, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. So here's a pertinent, here's a pressing, here's a personal question. Do you love Jesus? I just want you to imagine it tonight simply like this. Jesus steps up to the pulpit, and it's just you in this building, just you sitting in your chair. And he walks down, and he comes to your seat, and he looks at you, and he calls you by your first and last name. No doubt who he's talking to. Simon, son of Jonas. And then he looks at you, and he says, do you love me? Only you can answer that question. Peter had, you know, he'd made a profession of faith. There was a time when Jesus looked at him and he said, well, who do you say that I am? And he said, thou art the Christ. You remember that? Over there in Matthew 16, the Son of the living God. He said, Simon, he said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. He had accepted, the Bible says, who the Messiah was. He was pretty fundamental. He got it right. He got the right answer. And I'm not against faith, and I'm not against the profession of faith. But he didn't ask Simon, have you made a profession of faith? Peter had an orthodox, if you will, faith. He had, the Bible says, everything except this. He didn't love the Lord like he should have. You can have an amazing doctrinal statement. You can cross every T and dot every I, if you will, and still not know the Lord Jesus Christ. I used to remember when we first got married, I'd travel with a picture of my wife in my wallet. How many remember when you had pictures in your wallet? I mean, amen. I mean, we don't do that anymore. Everybody's got all of them on their phones now. And I remember on the back of that picture, I'd have all these facts so that if ever I got the urge to maybe buy my wife a pair of shoes, I'd have her shoe size and dress size. I mean, just everything I could think of so I knew how to maybe surprise her, and even colors and things that she liked, and just to remind me. And sometimes I'd pull that out. And you know, whenever I'd be traveling and I'd miss her, you know what I'd do? I'd take that picture and I'd hug that picture and I would get the urge out. No, I wouldn't. That'd be silly, wouldn't it? Listen, there's something, you can have the facts, and then there's hugging the woman. Can I get an amen? You can have all the facts about him, but then there's loving him. Here's the question, do you love Jesus? Not, do you have a profession? Not, do you have a position? Ladies and gentlemen, this man was an apostle. I have to ask myself that question. The Holy Spirit was convicting me this afternoon. Hey, I know you're the preacher. You're the pastor of Greater Rhode Island Baptist Temple. But do you love Jesus? And I'm glad the Holy Spirit led me to say this. Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. You can be a deacon of this church and a seminary professor and a staff member here. But I'm just here to ask you this question. Do you love Jesus? You say, I'm a charter member, I'm a treasurer, whatever. But the Bible is clear. This man had all of that. He had privileges. Jesus, the Bible says, he knew what Simon had seen. Simon had been up on the Mount of Transfiguration. The Bible says that in 2 Peter, Simon said, we were witnesses of his majesty. Can you imagine being there with James and with John and seeing Moses and Elijah up on that mount? And the Bible says, here's a man who had all of these things. And you may be here, you may have had a vision, and you may have preached, and you may have grown a ministry, and you may have grown a class, and maybe you've reached people for Christ, and you've preached revival meetings, and there's been even times when you've been witnesses of his majesty. I think there's been times in my life when I've been a witness of just the moving of God. It's beautiful. It's amazing. But that's not what he asked him. He didn't say, do you have privileges? Have you had any special things happen in your life? He didn't ask him about performance. Peter knew something about performance. He knew what it looked like to move forward for the Lord, to advance, to get out of the boat, to walk on the water. He knew what that was like. Peter had experienced it, the Bible says. He'd had some rough days out on the water, but now he's caught 153 fish. When they finished counting, the Lord looked at him and said, now, Peter, do you love me? And I'm telling you, I know there's some of you here, you say, well, Pastor, I know what it's like to lead people to Christ. And I know how many I've led to the Lord. And maybe you've got a long list there in the back of your New Testament, and that's wonderful. And I'm not here to downplay any of that by any means, but I'm just saying, did you know that you can be someone who can get people to trust Christ and not love Jesus? See, here's the heart of the matter. The wonderful thing is not only should you love Jesus, but here's the good news. You can love Jesus. I mean, I watched these guys sing up here a minute ago. And you may not be able to sing and arrange music and like Brother Daniel, but I'm here to tell you, you can love Jesus like he does. See, no one's got a monopoly on this thing. You may not preach like your pastor, but you can love Jesus like he does. You may not unravel divine mysteries like Paul, but we can love Jesus like he did. There's only one thing you can do as well as anybody. There's one thing you can do as well as anybody on this earth. Every boy, every girl, every woman, every man, every person here, whether you're rich or poor, wherever you were raised. Listen, it doesn't matter. You can love the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus is asking you tonight, here's the question. Do you love me? Now, you say, well, why does that matter? That's all introduction to tell you this. Because that's the secret of service. See, in verse 15, he said, when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my lambs. Now, I don't know if you noticed this, but Jesus didn't ask Peter if he loved sheep. He didn't love if he loved lambs. He said, Peter, do you love me? I really believe this, that the greatest and most important requirement to be the pastor of Greater Rhode Island Baptist Temple, it's not to love the pastorate and not to love Rhode Island even. And it's not to love lobster rolls, though, you know, that's pretty high up there. I mean, I'm telling you. It is this, to love Jesus. The greatest requirement to be, I believe, a Sunday school teacher or a Bible study leader or a deacon of this church or a staff member is this, to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Because see, if you love Jesus, you'll love his word. If you love Jesus, you love his sheep. The secret of service is you've got to love the Lord Jesus Christ. It's really not hard to serve someone you love. Sometimes people will start a ministry serving. And I've watched this many times, you know. And they start and they do something. They think, this is going to be great. And maybe they start teaching preteens, you know. Those kids right in the, they're what, 11 and 12-year-olds, you know. I mean, you want to talk about trouble with a capital T. And they get in that room and you know, they're excited and they begin. And after some time, they come back and they say, Pastor, I don't want to teach those boys anymore. I mean, they don't listen. They throw spit wads, you know. They don't behave. They can't pay attention. They're bad boys. By the way, don't you think if anybody needs a Sunday school class, it's bad boys? That's why he didn't ask, do you love teaching preteen boys? He didn't ask, do you like doing nursery? He said, the question is, do you love me? He said, if you love me, you'll love teaching those boys. Peter had just eaten of Jesus's food. He'd been fed by the Lord. He's eaten his fish and he's had his bread. And the proof of the Lord, that you love the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't that you sit at his table and you receive from him what he gives only. It's, the Bible says, that you take what he gives and you feed others. That you serve others. So the secret deacon, the secret committee member, the secret staff member, the secret nursery worker, the secret choir member of service is simply this. You need to love Jesus. You say, Pastor, I don't know if I love him like I should. I mean, I love choir, and I mean, I love my church, but no, do you love him? You either need to tonight quit, or you need to fall in love with Jesus. Not only is it the secret of service, I see in this passage in verse 18, the Lord went on to tell him very simply this. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, after the third time, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. He said, Simon, you're going to live to be old. Here the Lord's telling him, listen, you're going to live a long life. And one day you're going to give your life for me when you're old, he said. But until then, he said, you're going to serve me. And you're going to follow, he said, my footsteps. What is it that made Peter serve the Lord Jesus Christ faithfully all the way to the end and remain steadfast all the way to the end? And you can read the stories and the traditions tell us that this man was, as Jesus here prophesied, many believe was crucified upside down. And by the way, Peter loved Jesus. He did. Jesus asked him, do you love me? And he looked at him and he said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. But here Jesus wanted to relearn what he had learned back then that day when he was on that seashore rending those nets. And the Lord had looked at him and he said, Peter, follow me and I'll make you what? A fisher of men. See, when you become, when you fall in love with Jesus, when you follow Jesus, do you know what happens? Follow me and you will become, you'll become like him. I read a little article the other day, and it said that couples who live together after a long time, I don't know, have you all noticed this? They start to look alike. Has anybody noticed that? Right? Right? Miss Jill is very worried back there, Brother Pastor Vaughn. I'm not really sure what that's about. She just started crying. I'm not sure. Somebody console her. I'm just kidding. My wife's been distraught since we read that article. You know, I mean, it just... But you know what's true? The more you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, the more you look like him. The more we love him, the more we follow him, the more we'll be like Jesus. I want you to look at a passage with me that just the Lord this afternoon said, you need to go there. And I want you to go there with me. Would you go to Exodus chapter 21? It's a story in the Old Testament that just has gripped me these last few days. Exodus 21 says that here's a man who has been a slave. And he comes to a time 6 years later where he's done, if you will, he's paid his time and done his duty, and now he can go free. Now read it with me in verse 1. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve thee. And in the seventh, he shall go free for nothing. So here's a man, 6 years, he's worked, he's paid off his debt, if you will, and he's there, and it's time to go free. You don't have to do it. You can leave. Verse 3 says, if he came in by himself, he'll go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, then she have borne him sons or daughters. The wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. So here's a man, the Bible says, and he can go free. But he says, oh, remind him of what he's been given as he served. Now, this is interesting. Verse 5 says, and if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife and my children, I'll not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges, and he shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Amazing thought, isn't it? Here's a man who the Bible says he can go. You can do whatever you want. And he said, no, I'm going to serve my master. Why? Why would you do that? Notice, I want you to notice three things in this passage. Number one, he says it. He says, I love my master. He says, I'm not leaving. I love my master. There's nothing like serving him. This has been great 6 years of my life. Why would I quit now? Paul said, let me come back to that. The Bible says here, this man has to do three things. He says it. Friend, I hope you're not ashamed to say it. Lord, I love you. But he doesn't just say it. The Bible says in verse 6, his master brings him unto the judges. And now he says, okay, you love me, let's go. Let's go on the way. You're going to have to go tell everybody now. I wonder how many slaves on their way said, you know, yeah, I don't know about that whole telling everybody thing. I don't know about giving witness before the court. I'm not really sure about that. But the Bible says that if he loved his master, he wouldn't just say it. He'd share it. I wonder if you are okay with sharing with everybody. How is it that we say Jesus is all the world to me, but we don't tell anybody about him? How can that be? He says he's not going to be unwilling to go and stand and give witness and say, I love my master. I know I can do whatever. But I'm constrained to serve him. And the Bible says, number three, then his master brings him to the judges, and then they'll bring him to the door. Now, watch this. Now he scars it. Now he's marked. I wonder how many wives and children of these slaves were at home saying, is daddy coming home? I wonder if they were praying, boy, I hope daddy decides to stay. The Bible says this man, he takes the scar. And I think walking home that day was a little different than most days. Here's mom and here's the kids, and they go, daddy's home to stay. Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Friend, I don't want to do any, let's not do gimmicks tonight. The Bible said, Jesus said, I'll build my church. He's not in need here. He's going to use whoever is willing. But for him to use you, the Bible says, the secret is very simply. Do you love him? Seven years ago, the Lord had us, after 20 years, and leave California. And like you, we were ministering. We were happy serving the Lord, winning people to Christ. Hundreds, maybe thousands of times would gather. We loved what we were doing. There was a great spirit. There was brand new space, a brand new building. Souls being saved. Young people being sent out. There was a staff that we loved. And there came this moment where the Lord said, I'm going to move you. And we wrestled with God. I said, Lord, wait a minute. And he would come back and say, no, wait. No, those are my sheep. And you're my sheep. And for about 16 months, really, the Lord made that very clear. And we left. It was the most difficult thing we'd ever done in our lives. And the Lord said, do you love me? And I had to wrestle with this idea. I really loved our church. I loved ministry. But I wasn't sure about this, do I love Jesus? The Lord said, you need to wrestle with that. A year later, the Lord led us to Rhode Island. I remember the day feeling like it was time. The Lord said, it's time to get in the pastorate again. I remember I called your pastor. He said, well, you know, you just wait on the Lord. And I thought, oh, that's good advice. And it seemed like three or four churches called, and I'd tell them all the same thing. Hey, listen, I don't know. Maybe I'll come preach, and we can get to know each other, and we can go from there. I remember the church in Rhode Island was the first said, hey, you know, yes, would you come? Do you have a Sunday available? I said, yes, I do, in a couple of weeks. And so we went out, and I preached that Sunday. And honestly, I thought I was just going to get to see the coast, you know what I mean, and just kind of have a lobster roll. And I thought, surely the Lord was going to lead us to, you know, the Southwest. I was a kid from California, lived there most of my life, and just what was known. I got there and just began to see that God was working. And I remember thinking, Lord, really, here? It was a wounded, it was a weary congregation. It was a weak group of folks. They'd been through some difficult times. It was a cold area. It was cold people, frankly. And I remember thinking, Lord, I'm not really sure about this. I looked out and I thought, this is really different. Everybody in that church was white. Except me. And I remember thinking, something doesn't seem to fit here. And by the way, you know, don't say, oh, he's a racist. Listen, my wife's white. My kids, four of them are white. I will say one of them's not, and he is the cutest of them all. But that's another story. I don't know what that has to do with anything. My dog's white. I mean, okay, so don't get the wrong idea. We went there, folks, and I'm telling you, it was a tough time. I'd sit in my office and I'd think, what am I doing here? We had no staff. We had one staff member, and she was 68 years old, my 68-year-old secretary who couldn't type. And I'm telling you, nothing was right. There was 21 cabinets full of things, down the hallways that just had mimeograph machines. There were song charts from the 70s, folks. I mean, there was just, it was like a museum of Baptist history. You walk in the lobby, and here was the biggest cabinet of them all, full of paint cans, most of them dried up. I mean, it was just, everything was about like that. There was no membership list. I didn't know who was a member, who wasn't. I mean, it was just a complete disaster. And I'm telling you tonight, I would sit there sometimes at my desk and I think, Lord, what am I doing here? And something had to become real to me. Something had to change in my heart, and that was this. The Lord said, no. I didn't say, did you love Rhode Island? I'm not after, do you love pastoring? Or do you love even these people? I want to know, do you love me? There was at least three times, like Peter, where I said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love you. Church, I really believe that much of the problem in America today is there's a lot of good people who love their church and love their class and love their Bible study group and love their college, but I don't think they love their Savior. If we did, we'd say it. If we did, we'd share it. And if we did, we'd defend it and we'd be willing to bear some marks. The goal of Falls Baptist Church is to love Jesus. I wanted so badly to preach something else to you tonight, but the Lord just said, I want you to go, and I'm telling you, everywhere I go, I try to tell people, I love my Master. I love my Master. He's been great to me. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Everything else gets easy when you decide that. Do you love me? Then he'll say, feed my sheep. Serve others. But you've got to settle that one big question. That's the secret. That's the secret to serving and to being steadfast for the Lord.